Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Welcome to Sis Internet Radio. Sisters in Spirit, affectionately called Sis, is a nurturing environment for women that inspires harmony in everyday living, shares resources that empower, offers information and support that nourishes the soul, balances our mental and physical well-being, and promotes inner peace and heightened spirituality. Our vision is a world where women live consciously, harmoniously, and spiritually to positively impact our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. Join us as we live life with style, grace, and of course, much joy.
Greetings to the sisterhood. Tonight, we're going to motivate and inspire you to renew your commitment to financial empowerment. Hi, this is Raisa, and I am here with my guest, Sky.
Hello, Raisa. How are you?
Hi, Sky. Sky is my co-host. Our guest is Deborah Owens, and we had a little bit of difficulty getting her on the line, but we will see if we can get her on in a moment.
I think Deborah's with us now.
I am. My apologies. I am so glad I'm on. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us. And for our listeners, as we focus on the new year and retrain our thoughts and our actions around wealth consciousness, one of the things that usually for all of us comes up for a new year resolution is being wealthy, having abundance in our lives, et cetera, because it's something that helps us to live our life with joy and bring the most joy to ourselves as well as others. So if we have more, we can help more. And tonight's guest, Deborah Owens, is actually on a mission to engage, enlighten, and equip people of all incomes to build wealth. So if you have a little or you have a lot, you can get some guidance this evening. With the release of her most recent book, A Purse of Your Own, which we're going to talk about tonight, An Easy Guide to Financial Security, which is published by Simon & Schuster, she's actually on a tour of the country to implore women to become financially empowered through the Power of the Purse campaign. She is a wealth coach, and she's on her own national show called My Generation TV, which airs on PBS. She's the author of Confident Investing, A Wealth Building Guide for Women, and Nickel and Dime Your Way to Wealth. So, again, you don't have to start with a lot in order to build wealth consciousness. Deborah's also a host and executive producer of Wealthy Lifestyle Radio, a personal finance talk show that airs on NPR in Baltimore, Maryland, and she's a very much sought-after speaker who's toured nationally with the Financial Readiness Challenge. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Deborah.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, ladies.
We are happy to have you here. And in just reading information about you, just really impressing how much you are doing out there. Look at your website. It's very informative. And I'm just wondering, what made you say, you know, I'm going to focus on women? Was there an aha moment? What was the epiphany, if you had one?
Well, the epiphany, really, and I want to invite listeners, if they'd like to learn more about the whole A Purse of Your Own campaign, to go to my website and sign up for the free e-newsletters. But to be honest with you, the book and my whole mission is really, my mother is the catalyst for this whole path of financial empowerment for women that I've been on. You know, in my first book, I really began to understand why this whole topic of financial security really put me on this, I really don't know how to describe it adequately, but I think a mission is a good way to describe it, a good adjective. But at any rate, my own mother was just wonderful. She's like the most generous person in the world. My mother is 81, and I just thank God that she's still living. But when I was, you know, I led a pretty, you know, average middle-class life. My parents were married for 30 years, and then they decided to retire to Hawaii. And, you know, I had just started college, and then I soon followed them. I mean, what's not to love about Hawaii? I had to pick Michigan or Hawaii. You know, it wasn't really difficult. But my parents separated. After 30 years of marriage, you know, I idolized my father. I mean, my whole dream was to find that knight just like him. And then it just shattered. You know, my whole concept of family, of marriage. And so, you know, my mother was living in probably one of the most expensive cities in the world, Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii. And, you know, I saw what it did to her in terms of her standard of living. Now they had to make one income, take care of two households. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I said to myself, I said, you know what? I was like, in Gone with the Wind, when she said, I'll never be hungry again, I said I would always have a purse of my own. And that's really where the title of the book comes from. That's the genesis of my whole mission. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I would go into the financial services industry, and I would start advising, and what I found was that my mother's situation was not the exception, it was the rule. You know, 9 out of 10 women are going to be responsible for their own finances. They'll either never marry, they'll either marry and separate and divorce. And you know, what I didn't say is my parents never divorced, they separated. And now, here it is, you know, more than 20 years later, and they now live in the same house that my father purchased because of their income situation. But what I want to say to women is my mother really found herself. She's a totally different person than she was. And so it just really caused me to go into the financial service industry. And then, you know, I was an advisor. And then what I found was, you know, women just really don't have confidence around this. And so I wanted to teach women about how money works, how the financial markets work, how to fill up their purse, how to be empowered. So that's kind of my long story around that question that I'm asked quite often, why a purse of your own? Because it's imperative.
Okay. And we thought it was absolutely the best time of year to do this as we kick off a new year. And as you stated in your book, there is no better time than now to straighten out your purse.
That's absolutely right. And I think this is the perfect time to do that. You know, in the first chapter of the book, A Purse of Your Own, and if people want to read a chapter of the book, they can go to my website as well. And the first chapter, I talk about cleaning out your purse. And cleaning out your purse means just taking an accounting. And, you know, people listen to the show. You don't need a financial calculator or anything. I just want you to take a white sheet of paper, and I want you to draw a line down the middle, and I want you to put down what I owe and what I own. And then I want you to write all of your debts on one side, and I want you to write all your assets on the other. You know, whether it be, you know, your home, if you have equity in it, your car, what is the value if you would sell it. You know, on the other side, the debt side would be your credit cards, any loans, school loans. And then I want you to subtract one from the other, and it doesn't really matter what that number is. This exercise is about acknowledgement, because one of the things I know to be true is that you cannot change what you will not acknowledge. So that's called cleaning out your purse.
Okay. Okay. And I saw you also mentioned in the book that when you go through the effort of cleaning out your purse, you also want to be able to reduce debt as much as you can possibly. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, you know, that is like a hole in your purse. You know, that's why so many of us feel like, oh, my God, I'm working. I'm doing everything that I can, but I just can't get ahead. And part of that is because if you have debt, that interest continues to accumulate. And then, especially if you're paying the minimum amount. So in order to get a handle on your debt, I say use the snowball method. And, again, if they go on my website, DeborahOwens.com, I have purse tools. And I actually have a calculator on there that shows you how to put in your debts, and it'll show you based on what you have, how to pay them off. So you either pay off the largest balance, okay, or you pay off the card that has the highest interest. And the goal for that is to help you get a strategy so that you can then have a method, a goal that you're aiming for, because that's very, very important.
Okay. And you have a lot of analogies around the purse. Do you use the purse because that is such a major piece of equipment for a woman? Or why do you use purse? And we'll get into your purse. Personality tests, et cetera, all wonderful concepts that are found in your book.
Well, I wanted this to be approachable. A purse of your own, I use the purse as a metaphor for wealth for women because it's something that's very intimate to us. You know, think about it. My husband won't even go through my purse. He always, if he needs something, he'll say, here, honey, here's your purse. You know, he'll never go in that purse because The purse is personal. You're absolutely right. And so when, you know, I wrote this book, I didn't want women to be intimidated. And this is not about shame or condemnation. You know what I mean? It's not about you being fearful. The fact is we have power in our person. And I want women to embrace that power. We influence 9 out of 10 purchases in our household are influenced by women. Mm-hmm. Many of us are out earning our husbands. And so as a result of that, we need to stop being fearful and begin to take control. You know, I often say this, wouldn't it be wonderful to have control over your money and not feel like it was controlling you?
Right. Right, because if you're not controlling your money, then someone else is. There's a quote from another investment broker that we've dealt with in the past.
Absolutely, because, you know, when I start talking about wealth, you know, in the book, the framework for the book is the 7 Wealthy Habits, and I talk about 2 women who really have used the power of their purse, and Forbes named them as 2 of the wealthiest women on the planet. Who do you think they were?
Oprah Winfrey and,
J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter. And Forbes attributed their success to them really leveraging, in my book, I call it the second habit, a wealthy vision, and that's leveraging your strength, the habit of leveraging your strength. So if you look at Oprah, what was her strength? What is her strength?
Communication.
What is her gift or talent?
Being able to relate to people.
Communication. So it's communication. So she built an empire around her one core strength, and that was communication. If we look at J.K. Rowling, what was her gift or talent or unique strength?
Her ability to write.
Yes, her creativity. And so in the book, what I want women to understand is it's more than money, okay? Mm-hmm. It's when we understand how to leverage and embrace our gifts and talents to serve others, that really is the path to wealth. You see, wealth is not about getting. It's about giving. And when we give something of value to others, their natural response is to want to reciprocate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what we talk about in the book. That's how it's different. We are telling women to leverage their strengths. In the book, I share the 7 wealthy habits of wealthy women. And the fact is that wealthy women think, act, and behave differently than most women. And when you can begin to adopt their behaviors and attitudes, you too can become a wealthy woman. You see, wealth is an inside job. It's about our belief system and how we think. And the fact is we believe, we behave as we believe. And that's why we have to change our belief system, because then the behavior will follow.
Right. Right. And in your book, you say that creating wealth is about adding to the quality of your life. When you value something and approach it with integrity, the universe will conspire to help you. So as you help others, the doors just open up for you, and that abundance flows in. So can you
absolutely
tell us a little bit
right.
more about your 7 wealthy habits? We can go through the 7.
Can I interrupt for one second before we start getting into the 7 habits? Deborah, you touched on something that I've been coming across, and I'm trying to embrace myself. This is Sky. And in terms of finances and wealth not really being about the money, it's more or less about our behaviors and our belief systems. And what I wanted to ask is, in regards to women and men, why is it that women tend to have more of an issue handling money than men?
Well, you know what, that's interesting. And I think the reason for that is because women, we're nurturers, and the societal influences impact our behavior. And so for women, we're always seen as the nurturers, and we are looked at as, first of all, talk about societal influence, you know, somehow we think we don't have to worry about money because in the back of our heads we think there's somebody who's going to rescue us from there. So we still have that Prince Charming, and it's still reflected in popular media. I mean, look at Sex and the City. I mean, look at many of the popular programs that are on TV. They still depict women as, you know, oh, well, I'm going to have this career until I get married, and then it's all going to go away. So that's part of it. We think, you know, someone's going to rescue us. The other thing is we often put other people's needs up in front of our own. And so we will go to the detriment of our own financial security. That's a problem. And so in the book, I really I want to help women understand that when we value ourselves, then people value us more. With our children, sometimes we can become enablers. And so as a result of not wanting them to struggle, we sacrifice. When the one thing that we need to have our children do is to struggle and sacrifice, because that's what builds character and also allows them to value things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
So we can take this time to get into what the 7 wealthy habits are. Deborah, would you please take us through them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, first let me just preface it by saying the 7 wealthy habits were the attitudes and the behaviors that I observed in my very successful clients, and then women in particular. And, you know, as I began to reflect on what is it, what is different, why is it so difficult for some people and not difficult for others? And so as I began to write the book, I did some research, really reflecting on my own experiences as an advisor for over 2 decades, and that's when the 7 wealthy habits were developed. And so the first habit is having a wealthy outlook, and that's the habit of adding value. You see, wealthy people, wealthy women in particular, view the world differently. They understand that certain things are required of them, and that it is important that they give first, that they add value, that they do more than what's expected, and not worry about what's going to come of it, because they understand this is a way to view the world. That's how wealthy people look at the world. That's why, you know, even from the standpoint of not just in investing, but if you just look at how you operate in the world or how you operate in a corporate environment, you know, it's those people that do more than what's expected. Those are the ones that end up with more responsibility and get higher accolades and therefore higher incomes, because they understand that when you do more than what's expected, guess what? You stand out, and as a result of that, people want to give you more responsibility, and what that equates to in most instances is more income and more wealth.
That's true. The second
habit is a wealthy vision, and I already double-clicked on that, and that's how I describe the wealthy vision is the habit of leveraging your unique strengths. See, we were all put here with some gifts and very unique talents, and when we identify what those are, that is the secret to creating the wealth in the world, because we use those gifts and talents to serve others, and when we do that, people want to respond in kind, and that's how we create the enterprises. We go into careers that allow us to flourish because we're leveraging our unique strengths. So as a result of that, the world opens up to us.
Exactly. And to add to that, when you are doing or fulfilling your passion and your purpose, you are happy. Although you may have all types of stressors around you, you are happy and you're generating that positive energy. And that's going to radiate outward and bring back that same type of energy towards you.
Absolutely, and it's not work. You know, funny aside, my kids, you know, my son just graduated from college, and he's now in his own career. And, you know, he used to see me, you know, just writing and, you know, traveling. And, you know, they just thought I was just a workaholic. Well, I wasn't, because, it's not work to me, you know, because I know I'm in my path,
sure,
and my purpose that God has set for me. And so now my son has found his own love. He's in advertising and marketing. And so now I'm calling him at, you know, 8 o'clock, and I'm like, where are you? Oh, well, I'm still in the office. I'm just getting this memo together, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, okay.
Yes.
So, you know, he says, Ma, I understand. Now I know what you mean. And that's why it's important for us as parents to make sure that we encourage our children to go into paths where they have innate gifts and talents, because they will flourish, mm-hmm, there.
Right. They'll be happier. And as Sky said, everyone around them will be happier because you're radiating that energy of joy and passion.
And that's when the law of attraction comes in.
Because when
you're in your passion, your path, and your purpose, you attract other people to you, and they want to be a part of it.
Yes.
Now, the next habit is the habit of acquiring and increasing your knowledge and increasing your financial acumen. Every woman that I looked at, that I've advised over the years, had this habit. And that habit of lifelong learning and increasing your financial acumen is how you make yourself more valuable, and how you prevent yourself from becoming obsolete, and how you make good financial decisions with the resources that are brought into your life to store. Critical, a wealthy appetite, the habit of acquiring knowledge. The next habit is a wealthy focus, and it's, you know, it could be in the top two, but this is very, very important. The habit of setting and achieving goals. Very, very important. You see, goals act like a GPS for you. They give you the destination, and it doesn't matter, you know, if you reach it. What matters is that you're reaching toward it. We all need to be, we need to have financial goals, we need to have personal goals, we need to have health goals, because what they allow us to do is to stay on track, and they allow, just like a GPS, when we find ourselves maybe not on the path that we had set out to, it allows us to what? To recalculate, get back on track, and go toward the goal. Now, the next habit is a wealthy mindset, and that's the habit of viewing problems as opportunities. And it is a key component of the behavior of wealthy people and wealthy women in particular. When you can begin to see problems as opportunities, what they allow you to do is to meet adversity and see the benefit. The seed of an equivalent benefit is how Napoleon Hill calls it in Think and Grow Rich, but you see the opportunity in that problem. And it's the problem solvers in the world that lead the world. And it's how you create great enterprises, great businesses. You become a great leader in the workplace because you're a problem solver. You know that person. I mean, many people listen to this program. Somebody new will come in. You train them. They're the go-to person. They're always figuring out what the boss wants. And the next thing you know, that person is the boss. That's because they have a wealthy mindset. They see opportunities and problems. The next habit, so critical for all of us, and particularly in this time in the world, you know, where many of us find ourselves, so much happening, you know, we're using debit cards, we're using credit cards. It's very difficult to track our spending. Are we achieving our goals? Are we on track? And that is a wealthy system, and that's the habit of tracking and managing your resources. You see, you cannot manage what you will not measure, and so you need to set up fail-safe types of strategies so that you're going to meet your goals in spite of yourself. So that's paying yourself first. That's setting up money that goes automatically out of your paycheck into some kind of savings account. That's, you know, setting up automatic plans where you have long-term goals, where you're planning for a retirement, that you have these systematic automatic programs going. And it doesn't matter what amount. That's what I want to tell your listeners. It doesn't matter what amount. What matters is that you develop that habit. And that habit is a systematic way for putting something in your purse and paying your purse first is what I call it. And the last habit, I end where we began, and I talked about the wealthy outlook is about adding value, the habit of adding value. The last habit is the wealthy legacy, and it's the habit of paying it forward. Again, it is not about us. When you pay it forward to your children, when you leave a legacy of financial literacy, a legacy of inheritance, then you create a future for generations to come. And that's really what wealth is about.
Right, that's sustaining wealth.
Absolutely.
Well, wonderful. Thank you, Deborah, for sharing that with us. We're going to ask our listeners if they have questions or comments to please press the number 1 to raise their hand. And while they're preparing to do that, we'd like to ask you, Deborah, to give us your contact information to please let us know how to reach you and how to also, for those who may not have a copy of your book, how to get a copy of your book.
Absolutely. They can go right to my website. It's DeborahOwens.com. That's DeborahOwens.com. And for your listeners today, I mean, what I want to tell them is that if they sign up for the free e-newsletter, I will send them a free audiobook of my Confident Investing book. They can also purchase the book on my website. And it's just click on either the Wealthy Lifestyle Boutique, the store, or they can click on the picture and they can go right in. And we have a number of different things. We have 3 other books that they can purchase and my new public television special, A Purse of Your Own, if they want to really dive deep into the 7 Wealthy Habits And we even have a bundle pack where you get a free tote bag as well. So I really want to encourage them to go to the website, DeborahOwens.com, and just sign up for the free e-newsletter, and we'll send them a copy of the audio book, Confident Investing, to get them on their way, start out this new year right, and get their purse in order.
I hear you. You know, one of the things that you mentioned as well was a personality test. Before we go to the callers, I'm wondering if we could go through those 12 questions that you have in the personality test.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, what I want the listeners to know, this isn't scientific. These are behaviors, attitudes that I observed in women. You know, the fact is wealthy women think differently. And you have a lot of those attributes already. What the personality test quiz is about is helping you to identify what yours are and then what ones you need to develop so you'll begin to think like a wealthy woman and, of course, create a purse of your own.
And that personality is spelled P-U-R-S-E-O-N-A-L-I-T-Y.
That's correct.
Okay, so do you want to read the questions, or I can read them? I have it open.
Okay, I'll let you read them. I don't have them in front of me right now.
All right, so for the listeners, these are 12 questions that helps you determine your personality type, and you can answer the question either A, B, or C. A means you usually do it, B means you occasionally do it, and C means seldom. So that one really wouldn't apply to you. So get out a pen and paper if you have it, or if not, try to keep a mental calculation of your A, B, and C answers. So at the end, you're going to tally up how many A's, how many B's, how many C's. So the first one is you devise solutions to problems. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
Okay, and so that question goes directly to the heart of the wealthy mindset. Meaning, can you do your problems as opportunity? Absolutely.
Okay. The second one, you give to charitable causes or volunteer to help relatives, friends, and or strangers. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
Of course, that is the wealthy outlook. It's about giving and adding value to others. And that's the first attitude in the view, how you view the world. And if you are generous, guess what? The world is generous to you.
Because giving is receiving. And you are the world. You're giving to yourself.
The Bible says it's true.
Yeah. And the third question. You prefer a job in which you interact with others as opposed to working independently. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
And the key to that is, remember, we're talking about leveraging our strengths, so we're not good at everything. And women who succeed because they collaborate. That's what I didn't talk about was the purse of your own campaign and purse groups, and that's why we encourage women to start purse groups, because when you can leverage someone, might be the researcher, someone might be a more organizer, someone may be more analytical, when you leverage those strengths, you can get much leverage. To leverage means to be able to rise up because you're leveraging other people's strengths. And I want you to think of a teeter-totter. Okay, how one side, the more weight you put on it, the higher it goes up. The same thing holds true. I want to invite women to go to the purseofyourown.com website. They can also get there through my website and learn about the purse campaign and how you could get 5 to 10 of your closest friends agree to read one chapter of the book a month and start applying those principles to your own personal finances.
That's definitely something we can do. Number four, you keep in touch with loved ones with phone calls, instant messages, emails, and or snail mail. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
you know, relationships are at the heart of everything that we do, and what the studies show and what I found is those people that connect, your network is your net worth. And so it's important that we keep in touch, that we connect with one another, and it not only is it work from the standpoint of it making good persons, but it also, we're healthier when we're more social.
A good P-U-R-S-E-O-N person?
That's right.
Well, I like that one.
Number five, sometimes it seems as if you can almost read minds. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
And that's particularly as it relates to wealth building and investing. When you can see trends, when you follow your intuition, and we talk a lot in the book about female intuition, and you follow those hunches, what you think are hunches are really like a third eye, like the Lord speaking to you. And when you're able to really embrace that, you make a good investor.
Yeah, and a lot of times we don't listen to that. And in retrospect, we know that is a true statement. Number
Absolutely.
Six, if you saw a defenseless person being mistreated, you would defend her. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
And that really gets to the heart of integrity, what we talked about, you know, of valuing yourself, valuing others, and having integrity. That's what you need. Most of all, you need courage, and that's what that question is getting underneath.
Okay. Number seven, when you're busy, you try to do several things simultaneously. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
Well, you know, that question is really getting to the heart of women, and most women are multitaskers. And in fact, the internet, the world of investing is the playing field is made for those strengths that we have, and that's really acknowledging and getting underneath that one attribute as well.
Yeah, we definitely are multitaskers. Taking care of all of the family and friends.
Yes, we're moms, we're wives, we're girlfriends, we're, you know, we're a colleague, we're all of those things.
Okay, number eight, strangers often smile at you or engage you in short conversations. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
And that's getting at the heart of mindset once again and really viewing the world as being one of opportunity and not struggle. And when you can view the world from that way, people are attracted to you and they bring opportunities to you as well.
Hmm. Okay, number nine, people often compliment your outfits or other things you've put together. A, occasionally, B, I'm sorry, A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
Oh, the strength of organization, creativity, and style. That's always a good thing to have and can come in handy when it comes to filling up your purse.
Okay. Number 10, when looking at a house or apartment, you can imagine living there. A, usually, B, occasionally, C, seldom.
And that really gets underneath wealthy focus and goals, going beyond where we think we are. And, you know, having goals, seeing yourself growing, seeing yourself in abundance and creating that abundance and where you want to go is what will allow you to get there. And that's what that question really is about, your wealthy vision.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually using the tool of visualization and focus.
Absolutely.
Number 11, you prefer long-term love relationships to short and passionate ones. A, usually, B, occasionally, and C, seldom.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that, when you look at the studies of millionaires and you look at the studies of, families that have been able to create wealth, those long-term relationships and commitments and those types of behaviors are not only good attributes when it comes to investing, meaning that you're not looking for fast money. You do understand that you pick quality and you hang in there. The same thing holds true with families and relationships and the ability to build wealth. So it's long-term over short-term, exactly.
Okay. And the last one is, you like updating your wardrobe, and if you can't afford much, you add stylish accessories, A, usually, B, occasionally, and C, seldom.
Oh, that's a really strong attribute in wealthy people and wealthy women, and that's the ability to create and value what they have without feeling like, you know, less than. You're able to make something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you some time to go through this and add up all of your A responses, B's, and C's, and see what you come up with. And I'll give a quick overview, and Deborah can speak to this more. If you have five or more A responses, you possess many of the skills embodied in wealthy women. If you have five or more B responses, the strengths required for attaining wealth lie within you, and you will continue to be developed as you work through her book. So, great book for you if you're falling into that category. And if you have five or more C responses, it may be that you're so busy that you scarcely had time to do anything other than put one high heel ahead of the other.
Yeah, this is really, you know, the whole premise of the book is really to strengthen women, to provide them with insight into the behaviors and attitudes. The fact is many women are carrying what I call the counterfeit purse. We look the part, we drive a nice car, we live in a nice home, but we have nothing of real value in our purses. This is really helping women to develop the behaviors and attitudes that will that if they adopt, they will begin to live what I call the wealthy lifestyle. By using those habits in unison, they'll begin to make decisions that put them on the path toward financial empowerment and security.
So instead of having a counterfeit purse, you'll have a purse of your own.
You got it.
Like it. Is there anyone on the line who would like to share their score and talk about it a little with Deborah? I can share mine. I did this, and I actually got 9 A's and 3 B's.
Excellent.
And so I've always
you're on your way to being a wealthy woman.
I've always had a clear focus on money. It's never been an issue, so love money, it loves me.
All right.
While while the audience is still calculating, I'll share mine too. I had 8 A's, 3 B's, and 1 C. And I think one of my issues is focus, you know, and so I think that's something that I'll have to work on. And I look forward to getting deeper into the book and using some of the tools on the website as well.
Excellent. And, again, I just want to invite your listeners, if they'd like a free download of our book, A Confident Investing, just join the – click on the free newsletter, sign up, and we'll send the link to the download.
Okay. And those in our chat room, what about you? We invite you also to let us know your comments or questions.
Okay. One of the things I'd like to invite you to do, Deborah, as well, is to let us know what type of events, if you have upcoming events, or activities going on that you would like to share with our listeners as well.
Absolutely. Well, we have a great event coming up on March 22nd Let me make sure I've got that date right. They can go to my website. But we've got the Get Radical Conference in the Biggest Loser fitness coach, Jillian Michaels, will be there. Niecy Nash from Clean House will be there. I will be there, and it'll be a day packed with women getting the coaching, the inspiration to take their lives to the next level. And we need to get radical in order to make some radical changes in our lives.
That's awesome. Where is that taking place?
That'll be taking place in Washington, D.C. They can
okay.
go, yeah, if they want to learn more about it, they can go to my website, DeborahOwens.com, and click on the video. You'll see Jillian Michaels right there and Niecy Nash. This is being put on by Get Radical Coach Doreen Rainey, and we are going to have just an absolute fabulous time. If they go to my website and click on events, they can click on click to the website and learn all about it.
Oh, great.
Yes, that's right. It's Saturday, March 26th, and it's at the Renaissance Washington Hotel in Washington, D.C.
Okay. And another thing that you talk about the importance of is educating our daughters, our children, in healthy money habits or wealthy habits. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. You know, in that last habit, paying it forward, a wealthy legacy, one of the things I talk about, okay, is how can we put our children on the right path to financial security? And so I share with them different activities that you can do with your child to get them smarter about money and to begin to connect what they spend their dollars on to investing and building wealth. So one of the exercises really is having them identify some of their favorite things. I mean, it could be they like shopping, you know, that Target is one, or they like Nike shoes. But begin to have them actually do research. And there's a great website, sharebuilder.com, where they can do research just and find out what stock prices are and find out if they had invested $20 a month. You see, this is what I want people to understand. You don't need a lot of money to invest. I mean, when I started as a stockbroker many moons ago, you needed $10,000 to $20,000 just to invest in a mutual fund. Now you can invest in a mutual fund or a stock for as little as $10. It's not mm-hmm. difficult, but what is important is that you get knowledgeable about how to research companies. I mean, companies have to manage their finances the same way you have to manage your household finances. They have to have so much money coming in, that's sales or revenues, right? They have to manage their expenses, that's paying salaries and overhead and that sort of thing. And then they have to have something left over, and that's profits. And when they make profits and they're able to manage the money and the revenue and increase revenues, that's what makes a company stock profitable. It's not difficult, but you need to get smart. I've given you a couple of ideas. I have a mother-daughter purse group, and what they do is they meet virtually. And so some of the daughters are older and are on with their careers, but they're committed to getting smart about money. And so they Skype and do conference calls like we're doing right now, read one chapter of the book. They've had a money diary where they've tracked their expenses for 30 days so that they could find where those leaks in their purse are and to darn some of those holes in their purse so that they can have some money to invest. So, you know, I just really want to encourage women listening to this program. You can do it, and we're here to help. Please go to my website. We send out a weekly e-newsletter giving you all kinds of practical tips, and you will learn about the many events that we have going on. I probably have 5 to 6 events going on. A lot of them are in the Baltimore area, but we'll be on the East Coast. I just left New York. I was at the Wall Street Project on Friday. We launched the Purse of Your Own Road Trip campaign for 2011 on the ABC News' Good Money on Friday. So we've got a lot of things going on, and we're going to be there to support you, and I'm sure we'll be in a city near you very, very soon. And there's a lot of announcements that I can't announce yet, but there's a lot of stuff to come to help every woman create a purse of their own.
You know, we made the topic of the show unleashing unwealthy habits. Let's just talk about a couple of those unwealthy habits that people may have and may not even recognize them as unwealthy.
Yeah, those habits that are causing those leaks in our purses.
Probably the biggest habit is not tracking your finances. So,
mm-hmm.
again, I want to encourage people to do something. I call it going green. Just commit for a week to just spending cash. So basically what that would mean is you getting your money in the bank and whatever your budget is for that week you have in cash. And then once you spend it, it's gone. In fact, if they'll go to my A Purse of Your Own website, they will see a video that I did called Cash is King. And it has some tips there. So that's probably the most the easiest thing is when you're using a debit card, and you know it gets really easy to spend more than what you intended to. The other unwealthy habit is paying the minimum amounts on credit cards. I mean, if you have to use a credit card, the fact is you can't afford it. So what I would suggest is cut up your credit cards. Keep one. Cut them up. Okay. And commit to paying off the balances on those credit cards. Again, I want to invite people to go to my website. If they want to get out of debt, they can go to Purse Tools. And I have a personal debt reduction tool that will show you how to pay off debt. Those are probably two of the most common mistakes is paying the minimum on credit cards and, using your debit card too frequently and not tracking your expenses.
Yeah, and another is buying things that you can't afford. You can't afford. You made a statement, you can see a $2,400 Chanel bag and you can make the choice to buy it, or you can spend your money on making more money and potentially invest in Chanel stock. And because of women who have unhealthy or unwealthy spending habits, you'd be making a profit on your investment.
Absolutely. And, think about it. I want women to really reflect. I want them to go into their closet. And I want them to look at all the things that are in there that they bought that they really don't even value. Most of it is stuff that you never wore. Okay, so here's the other one. This is the big one. And, in fact, if they go on my website, I did an interview on ABC's Good Money. And the fact is you can go broke buying stuff on sale. So stop buying stuff on sale. Simply because it's on sale, and only buy what you really, really love. And so what that means sometimes is going somewhere, seeing something, and say, oh, wow, I really love that. But I don't want you to buy it. I want you to leave the store, okay? And a week later, if you still want that thing and you're still thinking about it and you still feel like it's going to add value to your wardrobe and you got other things that it'll go with and it's going to be one of those keepers, one of the things when you look in your closet and you say, wow, I'm so glad I got that. Man, I've been able to wear that with this, with that. Then that is a valuable item. The fact is we buy a whole lot of stuff that we really don't want, but it's on impulse and we think we're saving money. We're not saving anything if money is coming out of our purse. That's the bottom line.
That's so true. And especially if we're not using it, so we're not getting any value for our purchase. And
exactly.
One thing I'd like to share, though, when I learned this tip and this habit, it really helped me in terms of shopping. And that is, when you go shopping, to put whatever it is you want to purchase in your cart, and as you walk around the store, you shop, stay in there, do whatever you're going to do, but as you start heading towards the cashier, start taking things out of your cart. Look at it and see if it's something that you really want or that you really need, and so by the time you get to your cart, you've kind of like emptied it out, so you're not purchasing stuff on impulse anymore because you walked around with it, you know, you've mulled it over, and by the time you get to the cashier, you're like, I really don't need this thing. And the other thing that helps me is that now most stores have these long lines, and my motto is I should not have to walk around a store for an hour and then stand in the line another hour to purchase something. So the longer I stand in line, the more things I take out of my cart.
Me too.
Yeah, to the point that sometimes I get up there, I'm like, okay, well, I really don't need to stand in line because, you know, I don't have anything else in my cart.
Or get off the line, right.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a caller, and since the show is about to end, we'll take one quick question. Caller, the line is open. Caller 5386, that's the last four digits of your phone number. You're on the air.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Horns. I'm really enjoying the show. My name is Zita, and I'm calling from Macon, Georgia. And I just want to share that this past Monday, myself and a group of sisters got together and played the game Cash Flow. And in playing that game, I realized with myself playing and watching the other five or six sisters playing that, you know, how little we did not know about investing. So sitting here listening to the show, and they are all listening to the show too, I just realized that how important it is to know what you don't know. And so I will be purchasing your book. I wanted to thank you, you know, very much for coming on, sharing this information with us. And I look forward to reading your book. And thank you.
Excellent. Well, you guys need to start a purse group and get that same group of women to start a purse group. And I love Cash Flow. And make that a part of your meetings. And thank you so much. I appreciate your support.
Okay, well, we are listening, so we would definitely do that. And we had said we would do it, you know, once a month or twice a month, but we're definitely inspired now. Thank you very much.
Here's your confirmation.
There you go. Yeah.
You got
on a mission to financially empower 1 million women, and I need you all to get on board because you heard that statistic that African-American women have less than $5 in their purse. I am out to change that, the financial condition of women. And if it's to be, it's up to me and it's up to you. So let's create a purse of our own.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for sharing your information and your expertise with us today.
Thank you, Zita.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a joy.
And so as we wind down, we usually ask our guests to share a quote about the topic. So, Deborah, if you have a quote either from your book or from someone that you respect and honor, would you share one with us?
Sure. I mean, how long do I have?
Well, we've got about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay, not long. I was going to quote a poem. What I would say is to anyone listening to this program is that we all have exactly what we need. You have what you need already. You simply have to make a decision and decide what it is you want for your life. We all deserve abundance. We all deserve financial security, but we must believe that. But it's not enough to just believe it. We must behave as we believe. So we must behave as we believe and believe ourselves to the wealthy, abundant lifestyle that we all deserve and should have.
Okay, Sky, do you have something?
Yes. It's not your salary that makes you rich. It's your spending habits.
Okay, like that. And I would just say, focus on what you want and not what you don't want. So where you put your attention, that's what you get.
That's true.
Absolutely. One point, I want to leave them with this, that worry is rehearsal for what you don't want to happen.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, make money.
Yes, I like it.
Okay, you've been listening to Sis Internet Radio, and our guest, Deborah Owens, the author of A Purse of Your Own, an e-guide security. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we wish you much wealth and abundance and prosperity. Good night to you all.
Good night.